We're in Exodus 31, okay? And so leave your Bibles open there because we will look at Exodus 32. We will look at Exodus 33. And we'll be in those three chapters of the Word of God tonight. And I will be mindful of the time, but I want to thank you for being here. And I love our church, and I know it's a Sunday night in the summer, but I want to thank you for being faithful. And those of you that are visiting, thank you for visiting. Brother Bain, man, it's great to see you. And West Virginia, wild and wonderful West Virginia. And I heard somebody say, and I do not believe this, but when he said it, I laughed. He said, West Virginia is wild because we were there and wonderful because we left. And I heard somebody say that, and I just did chuckle, but I enjoyed my time in West Virginia. I know you did too. And he pastored the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'll be there next month and did a wonderful job there. And it's always good to see you. We communicate sometimes, and whenever he's driving somewhere, he'll give me a message and I'll catch up with them. And he has a ministry that is reaching out to new churches, young pastors, where he goes in and he takes the wealth of experience and he'll evaluate the ministry and he will really help them. And a seasoned pastor like Brother Bain can do as much in just a weekend, my opinion would be, can do as much in a weekend, really, as just in some cases, probably in 4 years of college, he could do just as much. And he was with Brother Swain this morning. And so Brother Swain is going to need more than one weekend, though, Brother Bain, he's going to need a few. But anyways, it's great to see you. I just love having you here. And we're in Exodus chapter 31. We'll just get right to the message. God laid it on my heart this afternoon as I was reviewing some things. Years ago, I was preaching a revival in West Virginia. And this is probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, probably longer than that. But I was preaching a revival in West Virginia, and it was just one of those meetings where the work of the Lord was obvious. The meeting was three nights. We started on a Thursday night, and it went Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. That was the revival meeting. And in those three nights, God did some very special things in that small church that was just kind of tucked away in the mountains of West Virginia. Souls were saved and backsliders were reclaimed. It did seem by the last night that hard hearts were just melted at the altar. And those who had not moved in a long time made their way down the aisle and during the invitation and really divorced from public opinion, did real business with God. If you've ever been in a meeting like that, we sat in the glow of the work of God. We just sat there. And it was three nights of that. And you know, some of the happiest moments in your life are the moments when you're close to God. And that meeting, all of us drew closer to God. The biggest smile you'll ever smile is after a work of God in your life, after a time of submission and after a time of yielding. And in that revival meeting, God had been so special, and so many of us were yielded and submitted to the Lord, and he had done such a deep work. The meeting was over, and I was driving back through the mountains of West Virginia to get ready for church on Sunday. And I was reflecting in all that God had done over the course of three nights. I was rejoicing in the work of God. I was just marveling that he would use somebody like me in a meeting like that. It just was so special. And while I was driving back and just kind of having an extra time with the Lord, you know, my phone rang, and it was a preacher. It was a hero of mine. And I had asked him to pray for the meeting, and he knew it was over. And I said hello, and he said, Brother Judah, how was the meeting, buddy? He always called me buddy. How was the meeting, buddy? And I couldn't find the words to describe the meeting. I said it was, I just couldn't get it out. And I backed up, and I said, you know, I said the meeting was so good, and but I couldn't get anything else out. And so I backed up again. I said, you know, I said, we got there on Thursday night, and it was just, and I couldn't articulate all that was in my heart. And the preacher said, "Brother Judas, say no more." He said, "God gave you a thin place. God gave you a thin place." And he went on to tell me how the great Welsh revivalists would pray. You see, that island had experienced such revival. They say that the last time there was a sweeping revival, the last time there was a revival where it just got into to not just a pocket, but an entire nation. They say the last time that happened in modern history was the Welsh revival. And they knew what it was to feel the Lord stir and to know that God was moving in a deep, powerful way. That they would get together, those revivalists, and they would pray, not for a good sermon, not for a good song, but they would pray for a thin place. He told me that. Then he said, "Brother Judah, let me give you some unsolicited advice." He said, "As you walk with God, try to find thin places. As you preach, don't ever get caught up in the applause of man," he said, "but preach and try to find a thin place." He said, "As you pray," he said, "Brother Judah, as you pray," he said, "learn to find thin places in prayer." And I never forgot that conversation. Thin places. I never forgot those two words. Thin places. That's the desire of my heart, that God would give me, and that God would give us, and that God would give our church a thin place. Thin places are times when the veil that separates heaven and earth grows thin, and a little bit of heaven comes down, and he's more real than he's ever been. A thin place is a time where the voice of God is loud in your life, and the things of earth grow strangely dim. Thin places. You see, I believe that there are two worlds right now. Right now, I believe that there are two worlds. There's a physical world, and there's a spiritual world. And all around us, we enjoy the physical world. What a beautiful day it was today, just perfect. It was just perfect weather. And who cares about California? It was just perfect weather right here in Hammond, Indiana. And beautiful. And the breeze and the landscape and the physical world that we can enjoy. But I believe that there is a spiritual world, one that we cannot see, but it's just as real. There's a veil that separates us. We talked about that veil a little bit this morning. Now we see through a glass darkly, but friends, if that veil could be lifted, I believe our eyes would be opened like never before. We would see heaven. I would see heaven. I have people in heaven that I can't wait to see. My father-in-law is there, and I miss him. And you have people that are there. And if somehow this veil that separated our world from that world could be lifted, we would see heaven. And those that have gone on before, we would see the lake of fire. Judas is there. The rich man is there. We would see demons and angels. For the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We would see, if the veil could be lifted, we would see spiritual warfare, like described in Daniel chapter number 10, where an angel was dispatched to minister to Daniel and was stopped on the way and warred with a demon for 21 days. The spiritual battle was so intense that Michael the archangel had to join the fight, and the demon was defeated, and the angel made its way to Daniel, howbeit late. Can you imagine the spiritual warfare that is taking place even tonight in this church, in this room? John the elder in the book of Revelation experienced something like this when he exclaimed, "And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." A thin place. A place where we get a glimpse into another world. A place where heaven touches earth. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled Thin Places. Thin places. We're going to look at three chapters of our Bible this evening. Exodus chapter 31. And of course, we read verse number 18, where heaven touched earth and Moses experienced the thin place. where the finger of God, the Bible says, in verse number 18, was extended from heaven and made an impression on two tables of stone. Prior to this point in human history, God had communicated with man verbally. There was open vision. But in Exodus 31, something special happens as God leaves an impression that is lasting, an impression that would be felt from that time to this time. And now we have a Bible, and now we have a written word of God. But for the first time, it happened in Exodus 31, and it was a holy time. It was a special time. It was a time when the curtain was pulled back. It was a time when the walls were weakened. It was a time when heaven touched earth in Exodus 31. In Exodus 32, the people grew tired of waiting on Moses. And while Moses was having a thin place with God, the people in Exodus 32 reverted back to what was familiar. I said we'd be in three chapters. Now I'm in Exodus 32. While Moses was experiencing an unbelievable time with God, the people were waiting and they resumed Egyptian worship. Look at verse number 4. I was reading again this afternoon and it just hit me like it's never hit me before. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it, talking about Aaron, took their gold. He fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, they formed that golden calf. They went back to that polytheistic Egyptian worship. And the Bible says in chapter 32 and verse number 21 that this act was a great sin. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? In verse number 30, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Friends, you see, in Exodus 31, while Moses was having a thin place with God, the people grew tired of waiting. They went back to Egyptian worship. And when Moses saw it, he said, and while it's not the message tonight, he did exclaim to them, he said, this that you have done, this is a great sin. I've often thought, what made it such a great sin? What strong language, Brother Bushy. A great sin is what Moses called it. It's what he said to the people. It's how he described it in prayer. It was a great sin, Wearsby said, because of who committed it. These were the people of God. These were the people who knew better. I mean, it's one thing for Egyptians to form golden calves and worship, but it's a whole nother thing when the people of God commit it. It was a great sin because of where they were committing it. They were right there at the Mount of God, at the very place where God had communicated with them, where God had showed himself to them in signs and wonders, right there at the Mount of God. And now they're committing this sin. And it was a great sin because of what they had already seen. Deliverance and miracles and the Red Sea and the plagues. And now they've gone back. And Moses said, he didn't have any other words to describe it other than to say, this is a great sin. And if I could just make the application tonight, let me just say, because of who we are, Christians, saved by the grace of God, because of where we are, sitting in the house of God, because of what we've seen, miracles and financial miracles and the deliverance of God, let me give you something to consider. If the people in this room ever turn back to Egyptian worship, if the people in this room ever compromise, I'll say with Moses, that, my friends, would be a great sin. The world will flock to all sorts of entertainment, but when the church does it, it's a great sin. The world will make gods out of money and the flesh and all of that, but when it comes into the church, it's a great sin because of who's committing it and where they're committing it and what they've seen. And that's chapter 32, pretty intense chapter. And that takes us to Exodus 33 and really the heartbeat of the message. If you look in verse number 7, the Bible says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. In verse number 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Verse number 14, in this conversation, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses now speaking to God. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In verse number 18, Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. In verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Moses experienced a thin place. Moses knew what a thin place was. He knew what it was to have such a communion with God that it was like face to face. He knew what it was for heaven to touch earth. He knew what it was for the hand of God to make an impression on an ordinary man that stuttered, on an ordinary man that was fearful, on an ordinary man that had committed some sin and hid it in the sand. Moses knew what it was to have God touch an ordinary man and to make an impression. He knew what it was to have a thin place. And church, there could be moments in our lives where the veil grows thin. There could be moments where the finger of God reaches out from heaven and touches earth and leaves an impression that is lasting. There could be times where the walls are weakened and the veil collapses. There could be thin places with God, seasons where the rain of heaven floods the dry ground of our hearts and the dry ground of our preaching and the dry ground of our soul winning and the dry ground of our prayer closets. I'm talking about thin places. Places when the presence of God is so real that I know we can't do it, but it's as if we could reach out and touch Him. Thin places. It's what we need. It's what I need. It's what you need. As we're assaulted by sin in these last days, as everywhere we turn, we can see the wickedness and the sickness of society. Let me tell you how a Christian makes it. We need some thin places with God. A few years ago, we had a teacher orientation in the dining hall of the college. And pastor was there, and we were going through the teacher orientation. I think we'll have another one next week, but we were having a teacher orientation. Pastor Wilkerson stopped the teacher orientation, and he just kind of stopped it and went off script a little bit, I think. And he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. He said, right now, we're going to take 30 minutes. We're going to pray. He said, and I don't want to pray in this room. He said, I want you, as teachers at Hiles Anderson College, he said, I want you to find a place on this campus. He said, and I want you to go to that place anywhere on the campus. He said, I want you to find a spot, and I want you to talk to God. And he encouraged us. He exhorted us to pray for our country and to pray for incoming students. And he said, just find a place alone, anywhere on the campus, and pray. I felt an immediate compulsion to go directly to what used to be a very familiar spot on campus for me when I was a student. I set my timer for 28 minutes because I wanted time to be able to walk back to the dining hall where we were. And I began walking fast because I was going behind the gymnasium there to those woods. I began to laugh as I was walking, trying to get to this spot. I began to laugh as I remembered my freshman year in college and hearing about Kevin Wynn. And I heard stories how Kevin Wynn would go out behind the gymnasium and he would pray around a tree. And I heard stories how he would talk to God out there and he would walk around a tree. And I remember as a freshman, and this is why I was laughing, I remember hearing that story and as a freshman, Brother Eddie, going out behind the gym and trying to find the tree that Kevin Wynn prayed around. I remember, and I was just laughing as I was walking there. I was laughing. I laughed even further as I remembered arguments that I got into after some of those messages with my good friend, Pastor Andy Dahl. We worked together, and I can remember one night, my freshman year, I think he may have been a junior or a senior, but we went to work, and we began debating and arguing about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And man, we got into an argument. This is one of those Bible college arguments. And I told him, and we were arguing about, is it possible to have a deeper experience with God? And I'm not going to tell you what he said, but I said, yes, it is possible. And that he had his opinion. And we argued, and boy, we fought. And he said, no, when you got saved, you got all of God. And we got into all of that. And man, just Bible college debates. And I was laughing. I was just laughing walking back there behind, getting to my spot. I remember being so stirred and motivated to be like Kevin Wynn. To prove my friend Andy wrong, that I went looking for his tree. And my freshman year, I was just walking around looking at trees. And I would say, no, that can't be the tree that Kevin Wynn walked around. It's not doing it for me. I'd go to another tree and that tree's not full enough. It doesn't look like it. I'd go to another tree. This is my freshman year. And I'd say, no, that tree, it's not Spanish enough. It's not bilingual. That's not a bilingual tree. Surely there is another tree. And I was just laughing as I was trying to walk as fast as I could to the gymnasium. And eventually, I got to where I was going. And I weaved my way through some trees. And it had been a long time, but I knew just where to go. The tree had taken some storm damage. Looked a little more weathered than I remembered, but I know it was the tree. The path around the tree wasn't as worn as it had been by the end of my freshman year. The grass had grown up around it, but I knew it was the tree. And I began to walk around that tree. I only had a few minutes. But I began to walk around that tree, and I began to talk to God about our country, about our college. I began to talk to God about our teenagers. I began to talk to God about my own life and my family. I began to confess sins and ask for forgiveness. I began to ask God to touch my ministry like I had so many times before. I asked God to break my heart and to change my heart. And I began to ask God for the filling of the Holy Spirit like I had done as a freshman so many times before in church. I don't know if I ever found Kevin Wynn's tree. I imagine I never did find Kevin Wynn's tree, but I know that I found Kevin Wynn's God, and that's all that really matters. And tonight, church, we are in desperate need of revival. We are in desperate need of the people of God finding a thin place with God again and grabbing a hold of God and knowing that he's real and knowing that something ordinary is, something heavenly is touching something ordinary. I'm for using every tool at our disposal to build a church if it honors God. But I'll say this, is my opinion. If we don't have thin places, then we don't have a church. We don't have anything. We don't need more activities. We don't need more programs. We don't need more graphics. We don't need more videos. I love that stuff. But what we really need tonight, as we start school, as we bring people from across the country to Hiles Anderson, what we really need right here at the old church downtown is for the finger of God to reach down and to touch a place and to touch an ordinary life, for the walls to weaken. We need the veil to grow thin. It was Brother Shimish who gave this quote, and it's interesting that he was our missionary tonight. I heard him say this. He said, innovation can never replace visitation. Man, what a great quote that is. And we are living in a modern day Christianity where we're trying to innovate and trying to be the cutting edge and, man, get the videos right and the lights and the microphones. And I love that stuff. But my friend, let us remember that innovation will never replace the visitation of God. God can do more in my life in 30 seconds than all the curriculum and PowerPoints and media that a church can produce in a lifetime. And our churches don't need another smooth talker, ultra organizer. We need some preachers and some people that know what it is to have a thin place with God, where the walls collapse and the veil is weakened and God and heaven breaks through. Thin places. times when we're turned back to God, like Moses was turned to God. Times where we cry out and we pray and we stay. I remember my first teen camp, the preacher preaching, my second teen camp, the preacher preaching a message on the Holy Spirit, and a statement that he made was this: you have all of God, but does God have all of you? Boy, 16 years old, preaching on the Holy Spirit. You have all of God. Does God have all of you? My heart began to beat. I remember going down to that altar and praying and staying and saying, God, I want you to have all of me. And God gave me a thin place. Thin places where the rain of heaven, like a hurricane, floods the dry ground of our heart. Thin places. Thin places are places of prayer. You notice in our text the amount of times that God and Moses talked together. The Bible says that in verse number 9 of chapter 33, that the Lord talked with Moses. Verse number 11, the Bible says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. In verse number 14, we see Moses talking to God. God's still talking to Moses, but in 15, Moses is talking to God, and we see this conversation back and forth. And yes, God gave Moses something special, something unique, but I'm telling you, friend, that thin place, it came through prayer. And if we're ever going to have a thin place with God, if we're ever going to be a church where the walls are weakened and the veil grows thin and the presence of God is thick in the air again, if that will ever happen, we've got to be people of prayer. We've got to know what it is to get back in a prayer closet and find God for ourselves. Have you ever prayed with someone? And when you prayed with them, it was different. Has that ever happened to you? I remember one time it happened to me right here on this platform. I don't remember the service, the occasion. I think it was just a normal Sunday night service. And it was prayer time. And pastor gave his speech about going to God in prayer. And he turned, he looked at me, he said, come on. And we prayed together, right here, we prayed together. And I prayed first. And I said my prayer, you know. I said whatever it was that I said. I don't remember it. But it was probably a prayer I was pretty accustomed to. Robert Cook said all of us have one routine prayer in our system. And when we forget it, then we can really learn to pray. And I don't remember what I said, but I think it was just a routine prayer. When I got done, Pastor Wilkerson began to pray. I remember the first words that he said. He said, God, you're a great God. And then he just began talking to the Lord. He just began talking to the Lord. I don't remember his whole prayer. I didn't memorize it. He just began talking to the Lord. Here's what I remember. He was talking to God. That's what I remember. And I remember kind of being on the outside of that prayer meeting and thinking to myself, you know, he knows how to pray and he knows the Lord and he's not just filling time and this is real praying going on here. I remember once I was with Brother Johnny Pope and I love him and he's a great preacher. And I was with him and we were talking and somewhere in the middle of the conversation, he said, Abdel, let's pray. And I said, man, wonderful, let's pray. And he said, I'll pray first. And I said, okay, yeah, you pray. And we got on our knees and nothing was said. And I remember just head bowed, eyes closed on my knees and I knew he was there. And after a while, I began to think, did he say he wanted me to pray or is he praying? What's supposed to be going on here? I was confused And I was certain that he said he was going to pray first. And so I opened my eyes and I just kind of looked at him, you know. When I looked at him, I saw tears just streaming down his cheeks. Just tears, just his whole face was wet. And I don't even remember if he prayed. I just remembered looking at him and thinking, man, that's a guy that knows what it is to talk with God. Knows what it is to pray with tears. That knows what it is to have a thin place. Where heaven touches earth and the finger of God reaches down and touches an ordinary person. I'm not preaching crazy tonight. I'm not talking emotionalism, sensationalism, none of that. I'm not. I'm talking about heavenly unction. I'm talking about holy fire. I'm talking about a spark of life that separates the child of God from a lost world or from a carnal Christian. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit flowing through us and bringing life to those around us. I'm talking about thin places with God. It's what we need. It's what we're missing. It's what I'm missing. A thin place. A thin place. I want to give you a few thoughts. Four quick thoughts, and I mean it quick. I think you've got the message. Four quick thoughts. Number one, thin places with God are places of choosing. They're places of choosing. If you look at chapter 33 and you look at verse number 7 and 8, the Bible says that Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, called it the tabernacle of the congregation, and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord, some didn't seek the Lord, but everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out under the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses, and he was gone into the tabernacle. Can you see it in your mind? Can you see Moses in chapter 32 rebuking these people, calling their actions a great sin? Can you see Moses setting up this tabernacle that was without the camp and then standing up and walking to it? And the Bible says as Moses walked to meet God, all the people stood up and they watched him. You see, Moses was making a choice to have a thin place with God. Moses was choosing to walk away from some things and to find a thin place with God. And it's been my experience that these thin places are still places of choosing. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't get close to Pastor Wilkerson or Johnny Pope and not to us. No, it's not God's choice. It's our choice to go out and to find a place that's thin, a place of choosing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You get a man hungry enough, he'll do just about anything for food. You get a man thirsty enough, he'll do just about anything for water. Have you ever been to the place where you wanted God so bad that you would do just about anything? Man, am I preaching to myself tonight? It's okay. I mean, I will. But have you ever been to the place where there was a desire on the inside through desire? A man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. There's a desire on the inside that says, God, we need you. And God, I want to be close to you. And God, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm not satisfied with your work in my life. I need more. I want to talk to you like it's face to face. I want the tears to flow through desire. I've been at the point of my life where I would do just about anything for the presence of God, anything for a touch from heaven, anything for a thin place. You separate yourself. That's what the Bible says. Through desire, a man having separated himself. You know, as a preacher, I've preached every day of the summer, just about every day of the summer. I've preached somewhere to somebody, poor people, but somewhere, somebody has had to heard me almost every day. And I get tired of trying to talk people into living for God. I get tired into trying to reason with people as to why they should forsake their sin and do the will of God. Boy, it grows weary trying to talk them into making a decision. If the sermon is funny enough, if the story is compelling enough, if the speaker is engaging enough, then maybe, out of respect, we'll come to the altar. My friends, we, I don't even know how to put it, but we ought to be better than that. It ought not take a compelling story, an engaging speaker, a stirring song. It ought not take much at all for the people of God to get together and for that heartbeat to start beating and that desire to start pumping and saying, God, I want more of you and more of you, and to make some choices. See, here's the thing with thin places. You'll have to make some choices. It's a place of choosing. You may have to choose to let go of some sin. You may have to choose to walk away from some people. You may have to choose. I mean, if we're talking about finding a thin place with God, you may have to choose to let down a game, leave a crowd, pitch a tent,
Let your friends and family say, man, what's going on with them? Why are they reading the Bible more? Why are they praying more? And maybe they won't understand it all, but you know, and God knows that you're looking for a thin place, a thin place. Thin places, number one, are places of choosing. Number two, they're places of hiding. If you look at verse number 22 of Exodus 33, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Moses, you're overwhelmed. Moses, you seem to be upset. The sin of the people, Moses, the sin of the people is weighing heavy on you. Moses, come to this place over here. Look at verse number 21. Behold, there is a place by me. Moses, come to this place over here. There's a place over here, Moses, where you can hide for a while. A thin place with God is a place of hiding. Man, when you're tired of the sin of this world, when you're tired of just the mockery the Bible says God is not mocked, and I believe that, but we are living in a day that's coming awfully close to mocking God. I mean, we're living in a time where, you know, the Olympics and all of that stuff, and I'm not here to get on a soapbox, but my friends, I mean, can it be any clearer? Can it be any plainer that society is getting worse and worse, and sin is sickening, and sometimes as a Christian, look, I don't want to go along with that stuff, and sometimes as a Christian, it gets overwhelming, and what do you do when you're overwhelmed? You don't run from God, you run to Him, you find a place of hiding when you're overwhelmed. God says, hey, there's a place by me. Why don't you come to the cleft of the rock and let me cover you and shelter you and places of hiding. I'll not talk about my sister much, but man, it just seems with every month and every year. She passed away 8 years ago when I came here, just a couple of weeks after I got here, my sister passed away. And it was one of the most emotional times in my life, Brother Eddie. It was just an emotional time. I mean, I left West Virginia, Brother Bain, after 13 years of being there, and all the emotion that went along with that, and to pack a U-Haul and everything you have in a U-Haul, and to come here not knowing what to expect, and to get here, and just within days, for my sister to go to heaven. I'll tell you, it was difficult. It was emotional. It was confusing. If I could just be totally transparent with you, there was a lot of times where I thought, God, what's going on? You know, have I made a mistake? I'll tell you what I needed in my life. I needed to find a place by God. A place of hiding, a place where the Lord covered for a while. And I know that we have a church here, and I'm looking at all of these people, and I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're sitting here tonight and maybe in your mind this might be your last service. I don't know the trials and the difficulties. I don't know the prayers that you've prayed. I don't know what you're going to go home to. I don't know what life has brought your way. But here's what I know. There's strength to be had, my friend. Find a thin place by God. It's a place of hiding. Next, thin places. They're places of choosing. You'll choose to get there. They're places of hiding. Next, a thin place by God is a place of strengthening. You'll find strength there in a place by God. And finally, and I'm done, it's a place of standing. Verse number 21, the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And what this world needs is a church that'll stand. What your job needs is a boss that'll stand, an employee that'll stand. Stand as lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. My friend, in these days, we need to be standing for God. And if you try to stand in your own strength, you will fail. But if you find a thin place with God, you'll find the strength to stand. My last thought is this. In Exodus 31, we see a thin place for Moses. And that's when God spoke with Moses, and it was a special time. But in Exodus 32, we see a group of people standing outside of a thin place. Did you ever think about that? Just yards away, Moses is meeting with God. It's wonderful. Yet there is a whole group of people standing outside of that thin place. I was in West Virginia, I was at camp in Mount Salem. And I'll say this, Mount Salem is a thin place. In my opinion, it's a thin place. I've seen God work there. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. We were there, and there was a young man who had graduated. I'll call him John. That wasn't his name, but I don't want to call him out. There was a young man who had graduated, and when he graduated, he got away from the Lord. And he just got away from God. He kind of disappeared on us. Got out of church, just got away. We're at Mount Salem Revival Grounds the first week of June. We always went to camp in the first week of June. It was what we always did. We were there the first week of June, and heaven was touching earth. I mean, God was meeting with us. He was meeting with us. I hope you know what I'm talking about tonight. God was meeting with us. And the altars were full, and boy, we were just praying and staying, and testimonies were given, and I was praying with teenagers, Brother Atkins, and it was just good. And I remember it was so emotional that I stood up and I just needed to take a break, man. I was praying with all these kids and I was worn out and I needed to take a break. And I just stood up and I just leaned up against a post there in the tabernacle. I took a deep breath. When I turned, I looked and I saw John. Hadn't seen him since graduation for weeks. He had gotten away from the Lord. He had two little brothers at that camp. And I saw John. John knew what it was to go to camp. He knew what it was to meet with God. He had been there. And I saw him. He was leaning against another post and just crying, just crying. And I walked over to him. And I said, John, and he was shaking. I'm serious. He was shaking. This is what he said. He said, I miss this so much. I miss this so much. You see, he had known what it was to experience a thin place with God. He had known what it was for God to be real. He had known what it was to make some choices for the Lord. But he had gotten away from it. Now he's watching his little brothers on the altar. They didn't even know he was there. And he said, I miss this so much. I said, well, come on, man. Come on. Come on. Let's go to the altar. And he just stood there. He said, no. And that was the night. That was one of the last nights that I ever saw John. Standing outside of a thin place. He knew we were at camp. He knew right where the camp was. He drove the hour to get there. He stood in that tabernacle. And it just so happened that God began to work. And he stood on the outside and he said, I miss this so much. Friends, we need to have some thin places with God. And I'm talking to a church full of people. Listen, you know where God is. You know what it is to talk with Him. You know what it is for a heart to be tender. You know what it is for tears to flow. You know what it is. I know that you do. You know what it is. Many of you know what it is to maybe go behind the woods, behind the college there, and to walk around a tree. I know I wasn't the only one doing that. Many of you know what it is to say, God, I want you more than anything else. But man, life happens and work happens and situations come and we can find ourselves standing on the outside of a thin place. Hey, I know my pastor has some thin places with God. I don't want to stand on the outside while he's having a thin place. I want to get in there, man. I know Johnny Pope can have a thin place with God, but I don't want it to just be for him. What about me? What about you? It's what we need. Friends, it's what we need, a thin place with God. Would you bow your heads, please?